Your lesson this week, the search for the peppered tree frog. Your teacher is Dr. Jody Rowley, curator of amphibian and reptile conservation biology at the Australian Museum Research Institute. Jody, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We want to focus right down today on just one individual animal. It's a tiny and very elusive peppered tree frog. Tell us about the peppered tree frog.
Well, this is one of about 240 species of frog that are known from Australia. This frog was found first in the 1970s from swift-flowing eastern streams on the New England Tablelands between Gleninus and Armidale.
Mm. When you say 240 species, that doesn't sound like a lot, actually.
We're not the most diverse country in the world. Certainly Brazil and Colombia and some of those countries have, I think, near on 1,000 species. But they're just the species we know of. There's also species that are yet to be discovered and described in Australia.
Okay, but in terms of ones we've discovered, we have 240 different frogs.
We do, native, plus the cane toad, which we introduced ourselves.
Okay, this took a long time to be identified by the sound of things.
So it was when they discovered it at first, they thought it was something different, and it took about 10 years before the peppered tree frog was formally described and given a name. Latoria piperata is its scientific name. And that was the last time we've ever confirmed that we've seen the species alive was in the 70s when they first found it. Since then, there have been some reports just keeping the hope alive, but no one has actually confirmed that they have found the frog since this original discovery.
It's been unspotted for nearly 50 years.
It has. So it's a complete mystery at the moment. It's listed as critically endangered, but worried, you know, everyone's really worried that it is actually extinct. But there is a definite chance that the frog is still there, that it's still lurking out. I mean, it's a tiny frog. It's about 3 centimetres in body length. It's marbled, sort of speckled, and looks a lot like the big granite boulders that are along a lot of these streams. So in many ways, I'm now looking for a needle in a haystack. It's a grand landscape, you know, from about 1,000 metres to 750 metres, giant boulders. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous country. But we're looking for something that if it's not calling out for mates, then the chances of finding it, you know, I mean, we're certainly doing our best, but the chances of finding this little guy, you know, it's a challenge, put it that way. I could probably look for the rest of my life and it could still be chirping away in a gully somewhere and I'd just miss it. So.
Yeah, it is extraordinary. I mean, Judith Wright, for one, wrote a very famous poem about this landscape of the Tablelands. Take us into the life, I suppose, of a conservation biologist. You're there, it's night, you're on one of these swift-running streams. What do you do?
Well, you're right. We go out at night. So usually we don't want to climb down these streams for the first time at night. So some of the streams I know, there's a lot of unknown streams that we're going into. So we surveyed about 25 or so different streams, sections of streams in the area, and we spent over 100 hours searching for this frog. We start out maybe 6 o'clock while the sun's still up. We go down the stream, usually as far as we can go.
Walking on the bank.
On the bank if we can. Sometimes it's actually the banks are a little bit gorgy and it's easier to walk within the stream the whole way.
We're usually wearing
gumboots, so we disinfect the gumboots before we go into any new stream, and that's important because one of the main reasons that we think this frog has disappeared from a lot of places is due to the amphibian chytrid fungus, which is a disease that has responsible for wiping out a number of frogs in Australia and causing big decline. So we think that this is one of the primary reasons that it disappeared from places, which is also kind of heartening in some respects because there's many, many cases around the world of people thinking that the frog species has completely disappeared and it finding one tiny population of this frog persisting. And a case of that was Latoria lorica, one of the waterfall frogs in North Queensland, the armoured mist frog. And this frog was actually not seen for about 30 years and then a decade at least, and everyone was about to proclaim it extinct, and then it was rediscovered. So,
when that happens, if that happened with your frog, and you found a small colony of it still extant, what would happen then? Would you try to extend that group? Would you try to remove individuals and breed them? What would you do?
Potentially, it really depends a lot. So it depends what the threats are, what we think that the threats are. We would check to see if it had the disease. We would just swab it on the belly and then send that off for testing. And if it came back that we're infected, we could try and figure out if they're actually declining from it or not. So it would be a lot more study. Potentially, if there was some form of disturbance upstream, maybe we could, you know, fence a bit off or do something. But it's really dependent. So we are actually searching a lot on private property, which is really amazing because most of the land where this frog occurred is actually not within protected areas, not within national parks. So where a lot of the work that I do is actually talking to the amazing landholders of the area and saying, hey, you know, hi, this is what I'm doing. This is a frog that used to occur in this area. Your stream looks awesome. Can you please let us survey on your land? And the response has been just amazing. And the amazing properties that we've got access to are just It's astounding. You know, so we walk down usually through the cow paddocks at first. I should say cattle and animal country. cattle paddocks, looking around, looking at the habitat, seeing if it's right. And we've looked at Google Earth, of course, before, and we've sort of checked out these streams as well. We've got maps. We walk down as far as we can. Usually we come to an abrupt halt mm-hmm. when we hit a waterfall or something that we can't go down. We wait until nightfall. And then as soon as it gets dark enough, as soon as the frogs start coming out of their hiding places, we start hearing frogs calling. Then we'll walk up slowly with headlamps on. So we usually climbing around rocks and looking under things. And so headlamps on our heads are the best way. We record all the frogs in terms of writing down which species we see, which ones are calling. And we just hope that we hear a call that we've never heard before or see a frog that we've never seen before. And that would be the peppered tree frog.
Is it ears more than eyes for you?
A bit of both. We actually don't know the call of the peppered tree frog, so no one ever recorded it. We suspect that it sounds a lot like some of the related species, so we kind of have our ears tuned for anything that sounds remotely like some of the related species. And sometimes we've been tricked by some of the related species as well.
And got overexcited for a moment.
A little overexcited. I may have gone in over the end of my gumboots into the stream in excitement. Oh my God, if we find this thing, there will be so much excitement with, you know, and you've got to have hope. I mean, I can't keep doing this. It's some tough country to climb up and down at night. There's leeches. Don't get me wrong, I love it. Yeah. And we see some amazing things. You know, I almost stepped on a platypus the other night. It was so close and it was just amazing to see this beautiful wildlife. But the peppered tree frog is the holy grail, obviously, and that's the frog we're after. And if we see or hear this frog, it will be probably the most amazing moment of my life and an amazing rediscovery for a frog so special to the New England Tablelands.
And one of the 240 still exists. We don't have to reduce it to 239. Your ears must be so amazingly attuned. I mean, all of us know frog sounds, but to tell from that cacophony of frog sounds at night, this one that might be something you've never heard.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really looking for an absence of something you know.
Or something that's similar to something we know as well, although if we hear anything. And sometimes it can be hard. People sometimes ask me what's the difference between, you know, a bird at night or an insect. And honestly, it's tricky sometimes even for me. But I know usually what kind of frogs are around. There's only about 30 frogs that could be sort of within the general area that we know of, frog species, that mm-hmm. is. And so the peppered tree frog is the big unknown.
So a lot of the noise you can write off and you would say, oh, that's obviously a...
Yes, yes. So most frogs have a pretty stereotypical call. They'll call the same thing over and over again. So, you know, they'll go rant, rant, rant. And so, yeah, okay, that one's that, that one's that. There's some frogs, particularly at the beginning of the night, maybe they're warming their voices up. So they'll do a funny call. And so sometimes we'll get particularly excited and then it'll start doing their proper call. And
a funny call.
Not quite a full call yet. Maybe it's not quite dark enough. They're testing out their vocal cords. And so they'll sort of go like, eh, and you're like, ooh, what was that? And then it'll go, rant, 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 ah.
We're warmed up and we're going. And which are the ones that are so ubiquitous in this area you can kind of write them off and say, I know what that is?
One of the most common frogs is actually quite beautiful, is the Stony Creek frog, Latoria wilcoxi. And one of the cool things about that frog is that the males turn bright yellow, lemon fluoro yellow in the breeding season. So for the rest of the year, they're kind of a brown colour. But during the breeding season, you have these lemon-coloured frogs sitting on almost every rock. Sometimes there's not enough rocks and there's three frogs per rock. It's quite amazing. And while they are a wonderful frog, they actually might be a bad sign because they they seem to be able to persist with the disease. So if you see a lot of them, maybe the chances for the peppered tree frog, because they, of course, if they're, they've got the little bit of disease on their skin, they hop around, the disease comes off, they might be bringing it, the disease with them. So I'm actually a little more excited when I find places where there's not so many of those frogs and think maybe this is one of the places where it's going to be more likely that we find the peppered tree frog.
And what does its call sound like?
It's a really quiet
to the extent growl. To the extent that you can guess it.
So sort of like... Really, it's quite strange that it's quiet because the streams can be quite loud, but females... Frogs' ears are actually tuned to the specific call of their species. So amongst the stream roaring and the wind and the other species calling, they will hear their true love, the right species that they're after.
Even though it's so soft.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So it can be sometimes hard for us, and it's the moments where, and we do this often, we turn off our lights and we just listen sometimes because the lights will sometimes stop the frogs from calling. And so we'll just do periodic, or if we think we hear something, quick, everyone, lights off, turn your lights off and just listen, and then you'll just sort of hear that. Some frogs much louder, but a lot of the stream frogs are quite quiet, which is strange. But they also usually partition their calls. So some will call high, some will call low. If the stream is really loud and deep, often their call will be high. And some frogs even call ultrasonically, none in Australia that we know of, but they'll go crazy to attract the girls and get above the loud roar, or they'll start doing some other form of communication like hand waving. Some frogs actually do little hand waves to attract the girls, or foot flagging.
Just like at the disco on a Saturday night. What a portrait you paint of you all in the middle of the night with these streams rushing, those gorgeous, fast-running New England streams running down off the cliff face that, as I say, Judith Wright wrote about, and then trying to listen for a song for a tune that no one's ever heard, really, or no one's ever recorded anyway.
Yeah, it is beautiful being out there,
and a sound that you don't know but you want to know.
Yeah, we're looking for a frog that's no one's seen for a long time, and listening for a call that no one's ever recorded. So, yeah, it's taking the sort of haystack and needle to the extreme.
Let's hope you find the peppered tree frog. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a great lesson from Dr. Jodie Rowley. She's curator of amphibian and reptile conservation biology at the Australian Museum Research Institute.